Hi, I'm Tasha Sims.
And I'm Mark Curran.
And you're listening to our Facebook Live for Conscious Living Radio, which airs at Co-op Radio 100.5 FM in Vancouver, Wednesday night, 6 to 7 p.m. So Vancouver International Film Festival, we've been talking about it lately. It's winding down. You've only got a few days here, I think today and tomorrow, to get online. We hope to entice you to do that with today's show, because we're going to be talking about film, about short films. And, you know, I've just got to say, short films have always attracted me, because once I pitched and tried to write one and I went, oh my God, this is harder than writing a feature film, because you only have such a short window to get that story across and impact people. So I'm very respectful of the particular genre. And our guest as well has, he's been VIFF's International Shorts Programmer since 2009. So let me tell you about Sandy. And I, you know what, Sandy, I didn't check with you before. Is it Go or Gao?
Gao.
Gao. Okay. So Sandy has worked with VIFF for over 30 years. He's had a number of different positions, not only now VIFF's International Shorts Programmer, but also was a programmer of feature films. He's also worked with many other film festivals, including Sundance, Los Angeles Film Festival, AFI Fest, the American Film Institute, Silver Dock, Seattle Film Festival, and the Palm Springs Film Festival. And long ago, co-founded and was managing editor of the Vancouver-based independent arts magazine called Issue. So welcome to the show, Sandy.
Ah, glad to be here.
Wow. Okay. Short films. I mean, you, what a great job you have. Let's start there, because clearly you have a love of film. I mean, is it all film, or do you have a particular little passion for shorts yourself?
I've always loved shorts. I grew up in the day back when we used to see NFB shorts before every feature in the theater. Right. So I just kind of got used to shorts, and I'm a person with a somewhat short attention span too, and I find that shorts really can deliver a really powerful stories in short amounts of time and keep people totally focused. The really great shorts now are so tight, they're so well put together, they deliver so much information and story and entertainment in such a compressed time period. I agree with you, Tasha, about difficulty writing shorts. Let me tell you, I've tried to write a few too myself, and it's really difficult not to get too complex and overload things. And what I find that I love about the very best shorts is they actually keep things fairly simple. It's really one kind of one focus, but they deliver the message and that experience incredibly well. And with so much information being delivered on all kinds of different levels. It's not just a dialogue level, it's a visual right. level. It's actors, and they're just every little gesture and motion, the camera work, the editing. It can just be totally amazing. And I actually think that the filmmaking quality of shorts right now in many ways surpasses feature films, because you have to be so succinct.
Yeah, there isn't a wasted second. If you're watching a feature, you can maybe drift a little bit and then you're back in the next scene or whatever. But you've got no time for that in a short. Every single second is gold.
And every single second, there can be some really interesting and important information being delivered in that few seconds.
Yeah, you know? Well, and that's what I find is, as a viewer, there's so much going on, and you have to pay attention to a lot of the detail, even in the acting, you know, facial expressions, especially when you got subtitles on some of these things, you know, reading the subtitles and really picking up on the story as it's being conveyed. I've really been enjoying the shorts myself.
Yeah, I've always really enjoyed them, and the quality of shorts we've been seeing in the last few years, in fact, especially this year, was really exceptional. I mean, really a lot more top quality stuff than ever, which is really fantastic. But it makes my job a lot harder.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to pick them, and I want to get into how you do that. Let me just tell them about what you've got going on this year, because you have different categories, kind of groupings based on themes, yes? So we have animated shorts, one called Come Hell or ... Release Me from This Darkness, and Tell Us About Her Life. And so what Mark and I did was kind of split them up. I said, okay, you pick one, the one that most draws you, I'll pick one. I think Mark might have even done two because he loves them so much. There you go. Tell us, I guess I'm curious about, do you find a whole lot of films, like how many films did you actually peruse before you picked? And do you pick them and then create these themes, or do they inspire the themes? How does it work when you're in that process?
Well, this year we had a record number of submissions. We had about 1,420 shorts in just my area. That's pretty a lot of film to watch. I don't watch every one of them. I have some previewers, volunteers who help watch and weed things out. But I still end up watching and looking at probably, this year I would say it was close to 1,100 films.
Wow.
It's a good thing they're short.
Yeah. And again, I don't watch the whole thing with all of those because I kind of have been doing this long enough. I know the level of quality I'm looking for. And, you know, unlike a certain other jury, like some juries I've been on where you really have to judge a lot of different categories of the film. Here, I'm just judging the overall quality. That's it. So it makes it easier. If you're not at the close to a level that I'm looking for, forget it. Why am I going to waste my time watching your entire film? Because I already know you're not going to be in the running.
Right. You know? And where does the theme come in?
Well, in the end, what I do is I kind of pick the group of everything that I think is the best, the top, let's say in this case, this year was about 60 films. And then out of that, I kind of, you see what commonalities are there. You start to see those as you're watching too. You see things that are really good and you know they're really good and you know they're going to be in the running at the end. And you start picking up on certain themes, but you never really know until the very end how it's all going to come together. And the animation program was one that I kind of knew I was really hoping for along the way because I was seeing some really great stuff. And I hoped it would really be there, and it was. And that was an easy one because it's all, it's just animation. Mm-hmm. But the other ones are a little more difficult. I usually go through a few drafts of different programs, of things that seem obvious right off the bat. And some of them work and some of them don't. There's not enough films for one, or there's way too many for another one. And you have to also, my goal is also just to play the best. So really the very top rated stuff has to be in. And I don't try not to make too many compromises about a theme. So the themes are pretty loose and they're not really super specific in detail, but overall, I do think it's important to give my audience kind of a rough idea of a program, of what the films are sort of addressing, or that there's some commonalities here that might attract you and interest you. And we've just been doing it that way really pretty much since the beginning. I made a few mistakes over the years a couple of times, but that taught me that, again, I really just want the best, because if people are seeing what I feel really is the best films, they'll have a good experience.
Right, right. And let's just give people the time consideration. What makes a short a short?
In Vancouver, it's basically 25 minutes and under. My preference is around 15 to 17 minutes max. I think figured that's in that time you can tell a heck of a lot of information.
Well, and it's as you said earlier. I mean, you've got, if you don't like one, it's like to me a buffet or something. You can pick. You know, in 2 minutes down the road there at the end of the table, you're gonna have something you really want to devour. So there's change. It moves quickly. Right, which is a beautiful thing.
Well, the other thing I've also been that I I don't necessarily try for it, but it seems to happen pretty much every year anyway, that the films in each program are all quite different. And not only in the way they address the theme, but in their styles and their approaches, and even in length. I'll play everything from some really short little almost just one scene scenarios that are like 4 minutes long and just encapsulate something so perfectly there. I have a few films this year that are, 23, 24 minutes long. And you take that ride and it doesn't feel like 24 minutes, feels like maybe 10, 12 minutes. That's what you get in a really well-made short, is that it just zips right along and you go for the ride, as I always said for a long time. But yeah, and you just get sucked into the experience, and you don't have a lot of time to question things in a short.
I find myself sometimes wanting more, meaning more resolution, a little bit more. Do I have to just resign myself and say, well, that's part of a short. It's a slice of life. It's not, like a Hollywood three arc series or something. It's not that. I have to just get comfortable with a slice of life, or do you think it's a, yes, it's not just a filmmaker's choice? Because some of them feel complete.
There's all kinds of reasons for it too. Let's remember, most shorts are made on shoestring budgets by people who are working on what I call the beg, borrow, and plying favors plan.
Yeah.
So you don't have much money. You're going to beg all your friends to help you out, and companies you're applying favors with people to get deals here and there, and you're calling in favors. Oh, you owe me something. Hey, come work on my film tomorrow. So it's a lot of decisions are made on those levels. You like to often add more. You just don't have the money. You don't have the resources. That's not the only reason. I think also you find a lot of filmmakers, and I appreciate this, that don't want to get caught up in too many details. Because once you open that can up, then where do you go? And how far do you have to go to resolve all of that nicely? And I like the films that are very nice, that everything is complete. It forms a perfect little circle, resolves itself well within the confines of its time, and doesn't try to do too much. Gives you that nice slice of life or that experience. And that's it. And that's what it is.
Yeah. Mm. What is it in a short that makes you care? Because for me, it's an essential piece. I'm a very kinesthetic person. I need to care. Otherwise, I'm watching it. I can appreciate it. It's great. It's lovely. But I love being moved on whatever level. And some shorts do that. Some not so much. I'm curious, after all the film that you have seen, what do you think it is that makes us, the viewer, care?
Ultimately, there's all kinds of reasons for that, too. Everything from how well the film is made, the script, the characters, how well they're defined. And that's also by the acting, the direction, how well it's put together. And even just your own life experience and how you're responding to things. But I do think that really well-made films where everything is conveyed very well, and you have really good acting. Acting is so important to me. I have a few friends who are actors, and I've done series about how important acting is in shorts to really, because it's amazing sometimes how people overlook that, and bad or even just mediocre acting can kill a great script in a heartbeat.
Well, I can feel the falseness. I'm an actor, and I know when I'm not feeling it, I can feel it. It's false. It's not acting. But a good actor can take a B movie script and turn it into gold because they're authentically in that story. So I'm with you there. I wish everybody knew that, so we would be treated a little better.
Well, it's so important, because body language is such a big part of communication. And if you got an an actor who's totally authentically engaged and totally in it, you're going to get so much more than just the script in when you're viewing it too, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that's such a big part of what I experienced in one of the series I watched. It was like, wow.
And that's the showing you what a good actor can do, exactly, Mark. Mm-hmm. That they can transform what might be only three or four lines in a script into a real character by all these other little things they do that you identify with, that you get communication from, information from, that builds their character as it goes along. And you don't necessarily need all that verbal dialogue. So much of Shorts is conveyed in visual dialogue, in mm-hmm. by the camera, by the scene, by the actors, you know, the little things, all the set, every little item in the set can convey information, you know? And that is so important in a short because you don't have a lot of time to communicate, in many cases, to communicate a lot of things, you know? Mm-hmm. So that becomes so critical. And fortunately, so many of my shorts this year are really gems of wonderful filmmaking. Mm-hmm. In so many different ways, too, you know.
You said, Sandy, I'm going to quote you, you can't have light without casting shadows. I love that. Say more what you mean.
Well, basically, that I mean, Mark, I take it one of the programs you watched was either Come Hell or Release Me From This Darkness. Both programs are definitely programs that there's a lot of darkness in there and some tough life stories. Really, really well told, beautifully done. I love both those programs. So a few of my filmmaker friends have films in there that are so great. I'm really happy. And there's no nepotism there either. Really on their filmmaking abilities, but it just happened that, hey, there was their film. And I was like, wow, I am so impressed with this. It's great. But yeah, and you also like to balance things out. I don't want to have all the films be really dark. And just like in your life, you know, we have great moments in our life and times, and we have times when things don't go so well. And, you know, we experience everything from, you know, whether it's just some kind of sadness over something to tremendous grief over the loss of, let's say, a parent. And so, you know, I just like shorts that, if they can embody both within mm-hmm. one story, that's pretty fantastic. But in my programs, I definitely try to keep things a little bit more balanced. Although again, there's always quality in there. But yeah, you like to have some entertainment as well. Right. So you'll see it even in those programs, there's a few that there's some great humor in there, you know, that I really like. The animation program was completely different just because, well, it's hard to, animation is just works in a completely different level, you know. But what I was really looking at was the artistry, specifically, more than anything. And some of those shorts, the artistry is just blows your mind. It's really fantastic.
Yeah, it really was. And to see the different styles of animation and the way they can convey the figures. I can't remember the name of the one right now at the top of my head, but it was like almost like claymation and things. And there's that one character, like all the expressions that they were able to do. And I caught myself thinking, like the making of this film for every little movement that they had these things, you know.
Are you talking about Malenkoot?
Yes, that's the one. That's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, he's
visually stunning.
Just so unique and just incredibly detailed. The guy who made it is the head of an animation studio in Tehran. I played numbers of his shorts that were made in the studio, not by him, but by his people who work in his studio before. This is the first time I played one by him. And you could just see the masterwork there. I mean, it was so fantastically well made. And so unique that character design was so different. I just loved the little parable, the way it played, it mm-hmm. came around. It was, you know, you didn't quite expect it. That's where it was going. When it went there, you were like, yeah, that's exactly where it should have gone. Mm-hmm. You know,
well, And that's one of the things that I found about every one that I watched, because you were right. I watched that Come Hell or.
Okay.
It always left, kind of kept me guessing, like, where are we going with this? What's going to happen? And each one was a little different, because you expect one ending and then you expect the next one to be, you know, maybe in the same vein, and it's completely different. But what I thought was beautiful is how it touched on the human condition. And there was a lot of love, compassion, unknown, and, you know, to see how people would shift through their experience through, you know, the course of the film was really quite impactful for me.
I love that when a film can do that, where you can see a real growth in a character, development, all in the space of, in some cases, you know, 8-9 minutes, which is pretty amazing, you know, for that to happen. And then you have films like that are just really on a completely different level. Like, I Want to Make a Film About Women, one of my favorite films of the year, that is just so unique in the way it approached things. It's funny. It's informative. It has a style unlike anything else. And yeah, first time I watched that film halfway through, I was just finding myself, I could not stop smiling, because it was just so pleasurable to watch this inventive film about these really creative women you know, that we knew very little about.
The whole grouping, Tell Me About Her, is exactly that. I mean, each of those films is a story, and I felt like I was getting to know this woman. And you mean all the way from discovering, I don't think I'm really giving anything away, although I might be if I say, no, I better not, because if you're going to go see it, you should see it. And I'm not going to say this, because then you'll know. But they were touching. I mean, I really felt like I spent time with these women. And the one that emotionally got me was Jane. I just thought, you know, it's a woman's struggle, a woman who's given up her infant daughter for adoption and is trying to wrestle with how to remain connected, if to remain connected. But I could really, there was such a beautiful, it was so subtle. Like at the end of that, when I went, okay, this, if you're going to do a heart story, this is one. And it was not on the nose. Like it wasn't, because you've got to be really careful when that you don't see it coming. I didn't see it coming, right? I just didn't see the ending like that.
That decision that she makes there. Yeah. You know? Yeah. And it's, that's a tough decision, but boy, it's so appropriate too. You get it when she's standing there looking in the window, and you kind of go, yeah, I see why she's making this decision.
Yeah.
But we can talk a little bit about the films without giving everything away.
Well, I'm trying to be careful, because there's one, and I want to say the one with the older woman, which I adored. But if I say the punchline, that's kind of like, yes.
And the actress who plays her, Tova Feldshaw, is one, just a fantastic actress. I knew her work before. I was, but I saw was watching the film the first time, and her name came up at the beginning. I almost stood up and cheered, because I was like, oh God, I know we're going to get some great acting here.
Number one, she was lovely.
She is so fantastic, but it's such a wonderful piece of speculative history.
Yes.
That's what I loved about it. And so is that I Want to Make a Film About Women. It's funny that I have two films about speculative history in the same program. It was kind of odd.
Right.
But they're so completely different, and they address it so in such completely different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But Tova is so great as that character who's made this decision, and her granddaughter is questioning it. And here she is, this in a way, this figure from history, you know, and we have to address, how do we think about those people too? Because I love the line in it where she said, the granddaughter is saying, you gotta come out, grandma, you gotta come out.
And tell people who you really are, which we're not going to tell people.
No, I don't want to be back in prison.
Right.
You know?
Right. It's almost like, what do you owe the world? Like where, and this, in this world where we have no privacy in a weird sort of way, like how okay is it to make choices where you literally choices over your own life? Why does it all have to be out there? Maybe it doesn't.
Right? Well, maybe she's already paid the price. She's already the symbol, you know, and we see her for that. But yeah, that's what I loved about that film is it asks these very big questions in a really nice familial way. That kind of brings down the emphasis of the grandiose part of those questions. And yet at the same time, it's really powerful. You get what's going on there and you get how we interpret that, you know.
So is there something particular about female stories that inspires you?
Let's just say we had a lot of really great female stories this year, way more than I've ever had. It was something I was noticing as I was watching. I was like, wow, there's a lot of women's stories this year, not only made by women directors, but a lot of men making really good women's stories as well. So in the end, when I was kind of putting the programs together, these ones were sort of all there, and none of this wasn't exactly a draft for one of my draft programs, but when those kind of didn't fall into place, I was looking at things over and it became pretty obvious that we have all these women's stories here, and maybe that was really a really good program. As I started to put it together, I was like, yeah, this is a really powerful program. Yeah. This really great stuff. And how they address things in so many different ways. I'm so glad you like Jane, though, because it's such a beautiful piece about, it challenges our impressions of people in ways that we shouldn't make judgments about somebody's character just based on their lifestyle or based on their economics. You know, she may be screwed up and messed up, but she still cares. And she still makes this effort to go out at the end and see her daughter. And that is, it's a really beautiful story. And it was really beautifully told too. I loved some of the details in it. I don't have a car. I ride the transit and I ride my bike. So the little thing about her falling asleep on the bus, I was like, yes, that's a great detail that most people would not think about unless you ride the bus all the time.
The other one that was interesting was taking your inner critic and playing it out. The one with the woman and the inner her inner critic at being a controlling voice. So male or female, we all wrestle with that. And so I thought it was a very creative way to illustrate how your inner critic can get you in a stranglehold.
That is such a fun little film. And man, Abigail is so great. I mean, we're talking about acting and expressions, and her face is just magic, you know, in that film. Every little look that she gives conveys so much. And she goes from one emotional extreme to another in literally like 2 seconds. Yeah. You know, it's like, boom, you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
But I love that film too, because it's just nonstop. I mean, there's a little scenario of, it's like 4 minutes long, and holy cow, what a journey in 4 minutes.
Well, and it's universal. That's the point.
Absolutely.
It's universal. It happens to everybody almost every day for whatever period of time, even if it's just for a second, you hear the voice inside your head going, hey, come on, whatever it is that you need to do better. So, yeah, I appreciated it. Mark, was there anything in the ones you saw that you want to talk about that blew you away?
Well, without giving too much of any of the films away, it's just, you know, when you talk about women, there was the one, what was it called? The twins, you know, the woman, you know, a boy, you know, and, you know, I don't want to give it all away, but where I thought it was going at the end was certainly not what I expected. I thought there was this moment, and yeah, it was just, you know, and that's a story because it was really a story of two women, right? A mother and a daughter, and kind of what happened in their life. And, you know, so to me, that was, you know, to see the daughter's reaction and how she was, you know, working with her mother in her pain and suffering, and her mother not getting it. She's stuck in the past, and seeing
she's kind of losing her mind. She's getting a little dementia going on.
Yes, absolutely. But it was certainly not the ending I expected. I was kind of shocked. But, you know, just when you're talking about the women's programs and the women's films, that, you know, it's not something that I expected. And then the other one was the Sin, I don't know if I'm saying it right, Sincello.
Oh, yeah.
And I just like the way that it really brought some real life thought to missing girls.
It's such a beautiful depiction of their lives in that town. And she really allowed the characters to develop nicely and slowly. And it's really not forced. I mean, it's such a heavy situation, but she brings a real reality to it that you can identify with, you know, and especially the poor kid when he screws up and he, you know, if the bad things happen, and all of a sudden it's like, holy shit.
Yeah, it's you know, and it's really relevant in the world today with what's going on and what's been in the news and the media. And with all the films in that particular set, in that short, I didn't expect, you know, everyone had an unexpected twists and turn, and there was a lot of heart in each one that, absolutely, you know, was really quite interesting for me in terms of seeing the human condition play full out, that, you know, really opens people's heart and gets them thinking.
I love Flush in that program.
Yeah, Flush was great, actually. I really enjoyed that one, too.
That's Diego's film, and let me tell you, the first time I saw that, my jaw was on the floor at the end of it. I was like, wow. First off, what a fantastic performance.
Yeah, and the cinematography, the angle, the camera work, the lighting, the angles.
Absolutely.
It was really well done.
Really super well done. But I also thought, wow, you are so brave to take this on in Brazil, mm-hmm. where, let me tell you, it's really bad for LGBTQ people down there now. Really.
I know we only have a couple of minutes, right, Mark? Oh.
Yeah, I think we're past time now, but that's okay. No.
So I want to make sure that we get our listeners to view the films, and vif.org is where you go. And what would they put into the search engine? Because I found it somewhat complicated the platform myself.
Actually, up in the top left-hand side, there's a filter by, and you can pick a series, pick international shorts. You'll see all my series there. And then you can just click on one of those programs.
And again, we love, Mark loved the animation and Come Hell Or, and I loved the women's one, and I'm sure the others are really fantastic too, but really take a look, www.vif.org. Any final thoughts or anything you want to say to our listeners?
No, other than just, I hope you do take the opportunity to see these films. The one thing about shorts is they almost never come back. You know, this is mostly a one-time opportunity, which is sad because there's so much mm-hmm. great talent there. So yes, please, listeners, take advantage of it. We've got not much time left, but all the way through midnight tomorrow night.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to say, Sandy, too, is I loved your selection because there's such a variety from different countries, different mm-hmm. languages and subtitles. And, you know, so there was a lot of variety in that I thought gives you a snapshot into mm-hmm. different life in different parts of the world.
And every year there's different countries that come through stronger. This year, France was really strong. Australia, really strong. Which is great. I love, we had some films from places we've never had before, Vietnam, you know, Myanmar, Azerbaijan. Countries that are often not really well represented. But yes, I love so much of that, getting to see other aspects of the world through these stories as well, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, I appreciate you joining us. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sandy.
We've been talking to Sandy Gao, VIF's International Shorts Programmer. This interview will be on 100.5 FM in Vancouver, Wednesday, 6 to 7. Also online after at www.consciouslivingradio.org. And yeah, get on there, VIF.org. You've got today and tomorrow. That's it. Stay in your jammies all day tomorrow. Take off work, watch movies. That's my plan.
And eat popcorn.